Father, we just open our hearts to you this morning to receive yet more of what you have for us today. Father, already we feel like we've received from you as we're in your presence. So, Father, our hearts are open this morning to receive more. Father, we go from this place knowing we've met with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Experience your power, your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we sung just a little bit earlier. It went something like, all to you, I surrender. All to you, I surrender. And really sense at this time, I said to Suzanne just the other day, I really want to talk a little bit about surrender and what that means to us, because sometimes we just want to, we tend to live our lives very much from our perspective of ourselves and what's going on in our natural lives. And of course, God is interested in every part of our life, every part of our existence. He's interested, very, very interested. You know, he's interested in the person next to you and what is going on in our lives. But also as believers, I really believe it's important that we learn to continually living in that place of surrender to him. And I believe the more we live in that place of surrender, the more of him we will experience of his power working in our lives. So I want to just lay a little foundation just for this morning, and I'm not going to do a series, but I just want to just bring a few thoughts around surrender, and men will even get there this week, but just bring a few thoughts around surrender and what that means to us. I want to read from Philippians 4, and verse 1 through 7. It says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. Beloved, I implore Eudae, and I implore Synthea, whoever she is or he is, to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And says, be anxious for nothing. One of the things we come across frequently when people want prayer is for anxiety. So much going on in life and around us that people can be very, even people who are born again of the Spirit of God, you know, the Holy Spirit within them can still be anxious. It says, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. I tell you, we live in days when we need to be a people who guard our hearts and our minds. Wherever sort of heart, I guess, is here and mind is here. But the heart and the mind, you know, in many ways, in the Word of God, is it one and the same thing? So the Apostle Paul considered it so important that the Philippian church, they lived with a guarded heart. Remember, these were believers. They were Christians. They probably weren't called Christians yet. Maybe they were. But they were believers. They were people whose lives have been transformed, have been changed, filled of the Holy Spirit. He's encouraging them to live with a guarded heart. See, their hearts were not what they used to be. When you got born again, your heart gets changed, doesn't it? We say, I gave my heart to Jesus. He became Lord of my life. I gave up my life to him, and I committed my heart to him. I'm born again. Our hearts are not what they used to be before we were saved. Your heart changes when you receive by faith what Christ did for us. For by grace we've been saved through faith. So our heart changed. You know, that stony heart which you once had has now been replaced with a heart of flesh. It's been transformed. We become a new creation. We are a new person. And one of the most important things I believe we must do is as Christians in today's day and any day is to be a people who guard our hearts. One of the most important things we believe we must do, I believe, as Christians, Proverbs 4 and verse 23 talks about guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it springs the issues of life. Guard a heart. Don't ever let your guard down on your heart. And Paul says here, Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. See, we need to allow the peace of God, which is, if you like, ununderstandable, outside of the Holy Ghost. Allow that peace of God, which passes all understanding, a peace that you can't always get your head around it. It's beyond our understanding, beyond our natural thinking. We can't get our head about it, so we need to allow the peace of God, which is not understandable outside of the Holy Spirit, to guard our heart. And it's peace that, if you like, is beyond our ability to understand. So it can only then be experienced. She said, there's a lot in the Word of God that we don't understand in our natural mind. But we experience it, don't we? Have you experienced something in the Spirit that you can't get your mind around? You don't understand it. So we need to allow the peace of God, which is not understandable, outside of the Holy Spirit, to guard our hearts. And there's that peace that goes beyond our natural understanding to explain it. So therefore, we have to be able to experience it. How have you experienced the peace of God? You experience something which you can't understand. You know it. You feel it. It's experienceable. Is experienceable a word? It is now. You know, it's experienceable. You feel it. You know it. How do you know when you sense the peace of God? In circumstances that are beyond your understanding. How can I experience peace in this situation? It is only the peace of God, which is ununderstandable, but is experienceable. Experience, there you go. And I'll tell you only experience the peace of God as I believe you grow in your relationship with God and your relationship with the Holy Spirit. So someone's a new Christian, when you're struggling with getting to know some things and getting your mind around some things and some things changing in your life and in your world, you know, you're not always there yet. And of course, you're never always there yet. But we grow in that with the ability, I believe, to, in our relationship with God, we get to trust Him more, we get to know His voice more, and we're able to experience that peace. See, when you don't live with the peace of God, you'll allow all sorts of things access to your heart. So when you don't live with the peace of God, you allow all sorts of things to access your heart. See, when you allow something, or it could be someone, access to your heart, it will take up residency. How many of you have opened your heart to somebody and then you've regretted it? That's only two of you. The rest of you need to either come and teach here, tell us how to do it, or you're lying. Because sometimes you open your heart to somebody, you share something with them, and you allow them access to your heart. And when you allow something access to your heart, it will take up residency in your heart. And it will take a while to evict it if it's not a work of righteousness. You know, we've all said things. We've all opened up maybe to somebody, or we've all done something. We've all allowed something access to our heart, and it's taken up residency in there, and we then had to struggle with it. We had to deal with it. You know, we've had to fight at it, and thank God He's able to deal with those things in our lives if we surrender to Him. All to you I surrender. So when you allow something or someone or something to access your heart, it takes up residency, and it'll take a while to evict it, to get it out, to rid yourself of the consequences and the stuff that goes on. You know, when someone knows something about you, you'd rather they didn't know. Sometimes you don't live with a lot of peace because you're afraid that something's going to come out. Or you wish you hadn't done that because you just wish they didn't know that part of that intimate detail of your life or something, or that was going on in a certain season in your life. So it said, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. Proverbs talks about a number of things, and then it goes, above all else, guard your heart. It is so important that you guard your heart, because out of it springs the issues of life. Everything comes out from within you. Everything comes out from, you know, if like from what is in your heart. But the peace of God will act as a guard to your heart and to your mind. The peace of God in your life. And we need to be a people who are developing that and believing that and experiencing that and allowing the peace of God to be that which takes up residence in us. And it will guard our hearts. You know, Paul then, he goes on in that same, in verse 8 of Philippians 4, he instructs on, if you like, the positioning of our mind, or if you like, the positioning of our heart. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, and you know this scripture, I'm sure, don't need me to read it to you, because a lot of you would just know this, and whatever things are true, I'll tell you, it's, you know, if you don't know this, this just helps you so much. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, it gives you something to measure what is coming at you with. Someone's speaking to you, someone's trying to fill you with something, someone's trying to instruct you and give you some and get you to do something. And think, well, is it true? Is it pure? Is it noble? Is it just? Is it lovely? Is it of a good report? If there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, sometimes we don't always do the right thing to position ourselves to being in that place where we're living in that place of peace, the peace of God. See, the food of your mind will produce the fruit of your mind. The food, that which you fill your mind, that which you meditate on, that which you fill your mind with, that which you allow access into your life to come in and take up residency, that is what then will become out of you, because out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says, the mouth speaks. Jesus is talking there about the tree is known by its fruits. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is in your heart? That's why it's so important that we guard our heart with all diligence. We put up a guard against it. We don't let anything past it. See, it's the times when you let your guard down that you allow something access to your heart. Because finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. May they be the things that access your heart. The things which you learned, received, and heard, and saw in me. Sometimes when he was writing to people who seemed to have somehow forgotten what he had taught and what they had seen. I tell you, be sure you get around people in your life who are living lives that are true, that are noble, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, that are of good report. Meditate on these things which you learned, received, and heard, and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. And so as we fill our mind with these things, that is what is going to come out, because you can only get something out that has gone in. So the fruit of your mind will flow out of your mouth. That which is in you, that which you've absorbed, that which you've taken on board. So out of the abundance, Jesus says, when talking about a tree being known by its fruit, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus said, a tree is known by its fruit. It says, a good man, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure in his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why it's so important that we guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, sometimes we would keep ourselves out of a whole lot of trouble in every area of life if we were to more diligently guard our hearts. Sometimes you have to deal with something. Sometimes you have to deal with something, and you have to look back. At some point, access was allowed. You allowed your guard to come down, and access was allowed into your heart, and it's taken up residency, and now you're struggling to evict it. It's almost like it takes up its rights. Like it's got squatter's rights. And how? Because you've allowed it in. You've allowed it in. Jesus teaches there about a tree is known by its fruit. You don't have to be terribly into trees to know what sort of tree a tree is. You may struggle to know what a tree is until it starts to produce fruit. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yeah. We got a tree in the middle of our garden, and some people look at it and say, well, I haven't got a clue what sort of tree that is. But if you looked at it today, you'd know exactly what sort of tree it is. How do I know? Because it's got apples on it. So if somebody came to me and said, well, I like your plum tree, see, you're wrong. It's not a plum tree. They could try and convince me as much as they like that it's a plum tree, but it's not a plum tree because I know it's an apple tree because it's got apples on it. Well, I don't like apple trees. Well, tough luck. It's an apple tree. So the good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. I tell you, we need to be around people, hang around people, around good men and women. Amen? Around good men and women who produce good. Amen? Sometimes I've come across people who hang around, who don't always hang around good people. And they may appear to be good people, but there's some fruit in their life. Something comes out of their mouth that you say, well, that's ridiculous. That isn't good fruit. So the Bible speaks here and says, guard your heart against those. Don't allow that something because a good man or a good woman will produce good fruit. Look at the fruit of people's lives. Before you take too much notice of what they say, where's the fruit? Because a tree is known by a good man out of the good treasure, or a good woman out of the good treasure of their heart will bring forth good fruits. An evil man or an evil woman, well, you don't like calling people evil, do you? But an evil man or an evil woman out of the evil treasure of his or her heart will bring forth evil. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why Paul says, meditate on these things because it builds something in you. But meditate on these things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, and the God of peace will be with you. She says, when you meditate on these things, the God of peace will be with you. Much of the Christian life, Paul says, meditate on these things. Much of the Christian life comes down to our mind. Of course, positionally, we're born again by the Spirit of God. But much of what comes out of our lives, the fruit of our lives, is down to our mind. Romans 12 and verse 2 speaks of that, doesn't it? But do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. But how did you become transformed? By the renewing of your mind. It's something which we physically, mentally have to do to change the way we think. And when we change the way we think, it changes the way we feed, if you like. It changes the way we live our life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Good man, good treasure comes out. So Paul speaks in Romans 12, verse 2, about the place of the transformed mind and what that produces. For do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may know what is the good, the perfect, and acceptable will of God in Christ Jesus. It comes because we have to change our thinking. You know, how do you change our thinking? By getting into the Word of God. By getting around people who produce good fruits, by getting in the house of God, getting the Word of God in you, meditating on these things. You know, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5 speaks about the importance about casting down argument, you know, bringing thoughts into captivity. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things have become new. I'm a new person. I'm living a life now, which is one of those of the Spirit of God, but I'm living it. I'm living a life in the flesh, but I'm living it by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. So we're walking this life out in the flesh. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So we're walking this natural life. We're walking with everything natural. There's all this natural stuff around me. But we're not of this world. We do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Aren't you glad you have different weapons? Sometimes as Christians, we don't always appreciate that, so we try and use carnal weapons to get a spiritual result. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But they're mighty in God. They're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. And he says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And then bringing every thought. And here's sometimes which is it is so simple, yet it is so difficult sometimes. And bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bringing every thought, you know, wrestling it down. I tell you, we need to spend time around people who know how to bring thoughts into captivity. Into the obedience of Christ. Bringing them along, turning ourselves around back to the Word of God. See, what we meditate on is so important. What we meditate on is so important. What we get our mind around. What gets our focus. What we think about and how we stir that around, if you like, in our mind, how we bring it. So bring it into line with the Word of God. So you hear something, and then you hear something again, you maybe sort of meditate on it. You say, well, I'm not talking about sitting cross-legged on the floor with a mat or something like that, you know. Hugging a tree or just being a bit strange. But, you know, taking what is coming at us and bringing it in line with the Word of God. Now bringing thoughts into captivity. casting down arguments, meditating on these things, getting, you know, digesting them. He says, you see, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now get these things in your mind. Get these things as you're guarding your mind, guarding your heart. Meditate on these things. Did you remember when the children of Israel were about to embark on that next stage of their journey? Coming out of a wilderness living, wilderness experience, you know, just about getting by and stepping over into the promised land. And Moses now finished his part of that journey and passing the baton on to Joshua. And God is speaking to Joshua and giving him instruction on getting over into this new totally new life, this new way of doing things. He says, you've never been this way before. You're going to have to listen. How many, when you get saved, you've never been this way before? See, the journey that God has for us as of, if you like, today through to tomorrow, you know, it is, every day is new. Like, it is, every day is a new day. You know, you've not got to tomorrow yet. And they're embarking on this new life which they've never experienced. And in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, he's speaking to Joshua and telling him, he says, be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Then he says, do not turn to it from the right hand or to the left. Now we have got to be, as Christians, I believe, like, let's not be blinkered, but let's be blinkered. Let's be vision. I'm not going to go to the left. I'm not going to go to the right. I set my face like flint. I'm not going to get distracted. Now, you can get in the Word of God and then you get around some people who can easily distract you. It says, do not turn to it from the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it day and night. Don't let it get out of your mouth. You know, we need to be people who know how to communicate. Not just have a lot of knowledge, but be able to communicate. Don't let it be your talk. Let the Word of God be in you. Let it be your talk. It's powerful. Come on, sometimes we talk about a lot of stuff and not a lot of kingdom. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that it is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. They were leaving one old life behind, and they were stepping into something totally new. Sometimes we try to drag so much of the old with us. We try to drag so much of the natural with us. We try to drag so much of the world, if you like, with us, and water down what God has for us. I believe we live in days when we need to be a people who know who we are. We know whose we are. We are clear in our direction of where we're traveling, stepping into what God has for us, something new every day, something new every day, living out the cause of God, Christ for our life. See, the children of Israel, they hadn't been this way before. They were stepping out of an old way of life, an old mentality. I tell you this, too much of the church is still living the wrong side of the Jordan. We live almost like we live a wilderness existence. You know, we get by. God is good. He provides. He makes, but there is so much more. How many know we shall be living in the so much more? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, for I have been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with him. I laid in everything. Everything of my old has died. I am no longer who I used to be. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. I'd say that the greater understanding of Christ living in us, I believe the greater effectiveness the church of Jesus Christ will be. When we got saved, when you got saved, you received a totally new nature. You are a new creation. A new creation. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. You have Christ living in you. You have all the power of heaven living within you. You have all the power of heaven accessible to you. And greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. So I have been crucified with Christ, and no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh. And we're all living our life in the flesh, but we live it by faith in the Son of God who died or loved me and gave himself for me. And so we are no longer who we used to be. We are new creation, men and women, living with that nature of Christ. You know, we sang, you know, this morning, you know, all to you I surrender. The more we surrender, the more we surrender to who we are in him, the more we lay down of our old self and pick up who we are in Christ, the more we get a hold of the fact that we are new creations in Christ Jesus, and that we surrender to him, that the more effective I believe the body of Christ will be. You know, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2 and verse 5 through 11. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Too much of the church is content with wilderness living. And just the getting by, and we're okay. And living like we don't look a lot different to the world. But God has put something in us. He's put something in you. He's put something in me. You know, and he says there, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now, you are capable of making good choices. Hello. You're capable of making good choices. Sometimes we're looking at all sorts of ways to make choices, but you have the mind of Christ. And he says, "Let this mind be in you," in Philippians 2. "Let this mind be in you, in which was also in Christ Jesus." The mind, we have the mind of Christ. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God didn't consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He surrendered everything, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, or men, and being found in the appearance as of man, he humbled himself." Jesus lived a life of surrender. Not your will, not my will, but yours be done. He lived for a greater cause. Entire church has a greater cause than just existing on this earth and living a Christian life in a world with a wilderness experience. "He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as of a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also exalted him and has given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those of earth and those under the earth. And let every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Let's not be a people that live our Christian life, our walk with God in a wilderness experience, but step over into what God has for us, meditate on the things which He has for us, and see the power of God working in our lives. See, it wasn't about Jesus in His natural form as the man, but He came and He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death. You know, it is no longer about me. It's no longer about me. See, so often as Christians, we make our life about us. But it's about Him. And when we make it about Him, we start to live a life of surrender. We start to live a life of surrender. Our mind is looking around. And I say that is why I believe it's so important that we know how to guard our hearts. That we guard our heart continually. Am I living a life of surrender? Am I laying down self? Am I putting others? Am I putting Him and His cause above my own thoughts and my own feelings? Am I bringing my thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ? It's about surrender. God wants us to be a people who surrender. Amen. To be people who surrender to the things of the kingdom of God, who put others before ourselves, who put His cause before ourselves, who know His word. Guard our hearts. Guard our hearts. Guard our hearts. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God wants us, church, to be a people who are living with such a sense of living in the peace of God, you know, knowing the peace of God, which passes all understanding, a peace that is outside of our natural understanding, which can only be experienced. And in that, I believe it'll help us and it'll empower us to be a people who live with a guarded mind. And when we live with a guarded mind, we'll live with a surrendered life. God wants us to be a people who surrender. All to Jesus, we used to sing, I surrender all. And yet we walk out of a building having sung a song like that, and we haven't surrendered one little bit. God is calling us, I believe He's calling the church to live in a level of surrender that we've never maybe experienced before, because He wants to do more than we've ever experienced before. He wants to do far more than we've ever experienced before. Let's stand on our feet just as we close this morning. I believe there's someone here this morning who's, when I talked about allowing access to your heart, you had like a jolt. Like a jolt on the inside of you. And it was like, that was me. Oh my gosh. I wasn't guarding my heart. And I've allowed, could have been a person, it could have just been a thought. I've allowed something access to my heart. And it's taken up residency. And I can't get rid of it, and I need to evict it. Or that, or the thought, or the influence, if you like, of that person. Just as I was talking about that, I just really sensed there was someone here that would apply to. You let your guard down. It's like you're living with a sense of guilt. I believe this morning God wants to release you of that. And and allow the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It'll almost be like it'll wash it clean and give you a clean slate, and you won't have to live with that fear from this day on. Can just worship for a few moments. If you can identify with that this morning, we'd love to pray with you. Because there's nothing worse. Well, there is. I think it's worse. But it's a horrible existence to live in when you're living in a situation where you have felt you've let your guard down, and you've allowed something or someone access to your life and details of your life or details of something going on, and you wish you hadn't. It feels like, and it's like the enemy will anchor you to that. God wants you free this morning. God wants you free this morning.